Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
That is why I run. Now I came home 1 minute to three. He say who and I say me. He say I got company. I say young man, that is bigger me. That's when I began to shout. If I can't come in, she can't come out. The woman with the gun came through the door. Under my feet, grass grow no more. Ask me why I run. Tell you why I run. Say the woman at the door had a doggone shotgun. That is why I run.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 10th of March, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. I've got a guest in studio. We got an exciting event to talk about coming up. Before I introduce the guest to the conversation, a little bit of housekeeping. First things first, there has been a gale warning. That's a strong wind warning has been issued by the Department of Meteorology. I'm just trying to pull it up because I want to be precise with the information. All right, the first gale warning from the Bahamas Department of Meteorology was issued at noon yesterday. A gale warning 34 to 47 knots. A gale warning will come into effect for 6 a.m. Monday, pardon me, in the northern Bahamas, and at 12 p.m. Monday in the northwest Bahamas. A near gale warning and gale watch will come into effect for 6 p.m. Monday in the central and southeast Bahamas. All warnings will be suspended by 6 p.m. Tuesday, the 11th of March, 2025. The second document posted by the Bahamas Department of Meteorology, PSA, was issued at noon on Sunday. It's a wind advisory. Wind gusts in excess of 40 miles per hour are likely across the northern and northwest Bahamas. The strong winds will commence at roughly 6 a.m., commenced at roughly 6 a.m. this morning, and they say the advisory will end at 3 p.m. on Tuesday. So that's 3 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. So all people doing construction, all people doing landscaping, right? You get to, if your boss has not already given you a warning, you need to go to your boss and say, sir, ma'am, there's been a number of weather warnings issued by the Department of Meteorology. Please check them out. There's nothing more dangerous than trying to trim trees in strong winds. There's a potential, if you are doing yard work or landscaping, that electricity lines and poles can blow down, right? You could have an incident. So let's all be extremely careful. If you drive in on roads today, let's be mindful, right, of strong winds that could blow small cars across the road. Like, these are real things that we need to be concerned about. So if I could say it, today is not a day to be driving with your cell phone in your hand. Today is a day where you need all hands on deck and all eyes focused not just on the road, but on what is happening all around you. All right, so we had a time change last night. I don't know why these people obey on us. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's obey. Let's just pick a time and stick with it. I don't know why we keep doing this to ourselves. However, I'd be honest with you, I didn't know how important this moment was. You know, going back in time, we fall back, we spring forward. Because I woke up realizing that I had fallen back into the past, into a pre-Pike era. Forever now, time will be told in the Bahamas as pre-Pike and post-Pike. Well, I've been living my life for the last couple of months in a post-Pike world. But somebody hit the switch at CERN last night, turn on the particle accelerator, and shoot us straight through the wormhole. And now we back in 1964. Anyway, Day of Bahamas Power and Light. The Glengariff Garden Subdivision, Northern Johnson Road, St. Anne's Constituency. We having a serious electrical issue. I don't know if y'all call it brownout. I don't know if y'all call it one phase. All I know is my neighborhood that was not properly constructed and wired in terms of electrical infrastructure is having a very, very difficult time this morning. Dear BPL, please go check it out. I beg of you. See, I couldn't call you because with this new fandangled telecommunication system we have, I can't use my landline if I don't have electricity. I don't know who devised that magical plan, knowing that we live in the Bahamas, the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, experiencing an energy crisis for the last 30 plus years, but your phone don't work unless you have electricity. So how do you call the electricity company to tell them you ain't got no electricity? Or especially if you're in my neighborhood, where we're not connected to any monitoring grids or systems or infrastructure. So we have to call you and tell you when our power's off, even though we're paying the type of bill that suggests you're omnipotent and omnipresent, and you always know when the power is on or off. Anyway, good morning, BPL. I have a text here that says, I beg to differ. I think wrestling alligators might be more dangerous than trimming trees in high winds. I've wrestled alligators. They're called BPL. Alligators are remnants of a prehistoric time. Thank you for such an apropos reference, Texter. I done wrestling with them now, and I telling you, tree trimming is still more dangerous. All you gotta do is feed these people a couple of biscuits, not cracker, because you gotta know the difference between a biscuit and a cracker. Yeah. Feed them a couple of biscuits and they be good. Okay, let's get on. A little bit more housekeeping. I gotta bring my guests in. I have to take a moment to wish happy birthday to a very special woman. This is my other mother. See, I was lucky to have plenty mother. Lila Green, Corinne Mitchell, Ona Bailey, Audrey DeVoe, right? Like the list go on. Even Cheryl Carey. Like she's a love of mothering, right? Mm-hmm. But I got a special, special happy birthday to my other mother, Joycelyn Frazier. I say good morning, Joycelyn, and happy solar return. Happy birthday. Happy Earth Day. And I come in to check. Say, if I check you today, then I can't check you tomorrow when I go pick up that box for $10 and drop that off. Anyway, it's my pleasure. You can see the smile on my face.
Yeah, I can see the big smile on your face.
Happy, happy birthday. Today is Mr. Christopher Davis, who is representing the Clifton Heritage National Park. He's here to tell us about an exciting event as we are celebrating International Women's Day. I am excited to hear and to see how Clifton Heritage Park, National Park, has imagined we should commemorate and celebrate International Women's Day. Good morning, Mr. Davis.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Bahamas. Thanks for having me on, Aaron.
Yeah, man.
You know, always a pleasure when we grow our spots, you know?
Yes, man. Mm-hmm. Once you know, when the trumpet's horn and I see the boat entering the water, I could swim. I could catch one of them rope and climb on.
Right.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Thank you. So, of course, I'm here representing Clifton Heritage National Park today. We're actually having a soft event on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. That would actually be the soft opening as well of the Sacred Space exhibit dedicated to her story in the Bahamas. It's really focused on the plight of African women, where I selected 12 characters focusing on Mary Prince and the recently inducted national hero. I call her St. Kate Moss, right? We had a star to beify and deify. We saw the Rastas did with Marcus Garvey, right?
Yes.
And so it's, you know, sacred space, and it's a really solemn thing. It was initially, of course, created by Antonius Roberts back in 2005. And so the completion of the exhibit, when it's finally done, should be around the end of April, is actually in commemoration of the 20th anniversary. And of course, showing reverence and solidarity to the plight of African women in the Bahamas, you know. And so it speaks to things like gender violence. It speaks to certain feminine virtues that we sort of don't necessarily always associate with being feminine virtuous. And what one of the things that inspired me to do this, of course, I've been doing research for years. And as I've been doing research, naturally, I saw all of these amazing African women popping up. You know, so many of those were featured in the book that I published about 2 years ago. And we have expounded on a lot of that research. And then we have some brand new characters. And we have Adinkra symbols. You may know them as, you know, the Sankofa bird, Nijiami. These are very intricate symbols that represent all different aspects of life. It's like a hieroglyphic alphabet that exists among the Akan people. And of course, that's the major ethnic group where we get Junkanoo from as well. And we took these Adinkra symbols and their meaning and applied them as best as we could to these women of African descent in the Bahamas. And it really speaks to the origins, like I said before, of things like gender-based violence. And of course, those feminine qualities that are typically not identified as feminine qualities, like resilience, patience, ingenuity, valor, and all of these things will be represented among the 12 that we selected.
Wow. Okay. So, sacred space to highlight and honor 12 women in Bahamian history.
Right.
Africans.
Yes.
Who, and then some Africans who have Bahamian nationality.
Right.
All African descent women?
Yeah, well, you know, from a historical standpoint, you know, we speak very technically about things, you know. And we have a lot of these sort of recently made up terminologies, you know, because, so for example, the reason why we don't use the word black per se, though we all, of course, identify as black people and proud to be, is because from a scientific standpoint, there's really no foundation behind that word. And any person who is black or half black or a little bit black is, in fact, a person of African descent. And a person of African descent generally is an African, right?
Right.
So we speak into our ethnicity, not our geopolitical loyalty as Bahamians, right?
Right. And so to make another point, it's important to make that distaste and ethnicity,
right,
or ancestry.
Certainly.
Race is mutable.
Yep.
Ancestry and ethnicity is immutable.
Certainly.
It will never change.
Yep.
Right? You're African descent, you're African descent. The DNA, right, inside you could be modified now, but it's all will always be a modified version of what was sent to you, right?
Certainly.
Race is a construct. It changes over time, language, geography. Use the phrase that you use, geopolitical.
Yeah, geopolitical loyalty, right? So
right.
It might sound like a loaded term, but essentially, let me put it in a way that I think most people understand. So, you know, if God come back today and you go to God and say, I said Bahamian, he's not probably going to recognize that, because the Bahamas essentially is a giant sort of global construct that, of course, comes out of colonization, right? We used to be partnered with the Turks as one country as well. Before all that happened, you know, this was the Lucayos, and the Lucayan people, or the people we call that, were certainly related to those in Cuba, you know? So it's quite simple. So to put it simply, the way God made you is African. That's your biology and your geopolitical critical loyalty is Bahamian. So you're born in the Bahamas, yes, and you have that. But tomorrow, if you had the means, you could say, you know what, I don't want to be Bahamian no more. And you could go get be a citizen of any other country, right?
Thank you for the new language, right? Mm-hmm. Because nationality is a geopolitical loyalty.
So anybody of any race can be of any nationality or any background. But I can leave that right there before we go off into another direction. You know.
All right. So I have a text here that says, "Isn't International Women's Day over?" Okay. So there is a single day that has been selected to commemorate, right?
Right.
The work, the experiences that we suffer, the injustices, the oppression, and the victories, the successes, and the work and the momentum driving us forward. We select one day to commemorate it collectively across the globe, right? To coordinate our work. But the month of March, the entire month is Women's Month.
Yep.
And so it is acceptable, Texter, to have events commemorating International Women's Day after International Women's Day. And it's kind of the point of the advocacy. The point of the advocacy is to draw us all in together on one day, and so that when we separate, we go forward and continue the work. So, yeah, thank you for making that point, Texter.
If I may add something too, you know, just to let the character by, we actually initially planned on doing it on March 8th.
Right.
And then we realized that this is such now, and I'm proud to say, such a sort of vigorous conversation, such a vigorous feeling. You know, you see now, though we still have a long way to go, but you see now a lot of men are showing solidarity with women who, advocate rights and all of these things, you know. And there's just so many events happening.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the sort of successful women, the well-influenced women, the well-endowed women in the Bahamas were traveling during the time, you know, as well. And so mainly, too, we did not want to clash with anything else that was already happening, particularly with any group that all they're about is women's rights. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and of course, as I'm sure you know, that was a lot of that was going on over the past weekend.
Mm-hmm. I got to say, shout out to Equality Bahamas. Certainly. And the International Women's Day March and Expo. It was a success. I may get into that in a little bit. Why I am excited to see how Clifton Heritage National Park will commemorate around this message from, of all places, Vatican News. Right? So that's the Catholic Church's, one of their publications.
Yeah, right.
And from their Africa segment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it reads, "The United Nations theme for this year's Women's Day celebration is for all women and girls, rights, equality, empowerment." And I just thought, like, so there was a focus from that media perspective, right? So those media journalists highlighted African women to commemorate and celebrate. And so there's a wide variety of organizations and sectors engaging this moment as an opportunity to celebrate the women that are a part of their sectors, industries, movements, moments, religious communities. I just thought that was heartwarming to see people with different perspectives celebrating it in different ways.
Right.
Now, give me the details of how we are celebrating on Wednesday.
So we'll have a short program, first of all, and then but a lot of school kids are going to be there. So that one is more sort of catered towards
school,
the school kids. We mentioned Equality Bahamas. And, of course, the great Alicia Wallace will be giving remarks as well. We made sure to reach out to her because that's the energy we're trying to bring forward. That is what we're trying to do. Remember, our mandate is to educate.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we started to think about, well, who are the women's rights and probably even tie it into the exhibit, of course, her name is one of those at the top of the list, right? And then we'll have remarks from the First Lady as well. And, of course, the theme this year is accelerated action. And our new managing director is sort of the quintessential example of that. Her name is Mrs. Glynette Reckley-Farkason. Mm-hmm. She is an attorney and has a strong background in finance as well. And since she's gotten there, you know, she's been working us very hard, but not in a negative way at all. And she was the one who also sort of pushed. There was a lot of things that came together that happened. And she just started in January, and she's like, listen, we need to get this up and running for International Women's Day. Mm-hmm. And then we sorted and we selected our date, and now we are here making it happen. And there's a brand new team, pretty youthful team as well, as a matter of fact. They're at Clifton Heritage Park now. And so we expect the general public to see more. You know, we have a lot of tourists that come. But remember, this is a park that belongs to us.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's what you could expect. And of course, I'll be there. I won't be on the program itself. The program is actually going to be all women. So I won't be on the program, but I'll certainly be doing the tours afterwards.
Okay.
And there to answer any questions and, you know, to make sure everyone's seated well and all that. Because that day, we wanted to be really all about our sisters, our mothers, our grandmothers, girlfriends, wives, daughters, you know, nieces. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
All of that, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. While you're talking, I'm thinking about the next item on our program, which is going to be the CHNP, that's Clifton Heritage National Park,
yeah.
CHNP, gender games, right?
Yeah.
Where we have men and women compete against each other and with each other, but through the generations. So, and they'll be competing in... So... Daily life, things you had to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So from the Arawak era to the enslavement era to the post-enslavement era to modern day, right?
Right.
And you competing, and then you got a wife carry, a husband carry. Can the wife carry the husband, right? Which parent could carry the most children, household things? And then cooking things and making things and beating corn, and right? And who make the best corn bread?
It'd be a good addition to that competition,
yeah,
taking the conch out the shell,
yeah, because you'd be surprised. Let's say good morning to Dr. Nyambi Campbell Hall Dean,
certainly,
and Mr. Dean, aka Popeye's Conch Salad, for hosting the King and Queen of the Conch Festivals,
right?
Which had the best Bahama Games. You all need to get on this. They had the best competitions, though. They had the conch horn blowing competition, they had the conch cracking competition, they had everything. So, listen. Producer's telling me it's time to go to a break. So since we're talking competition, let me remind y'all, you cannot miss the 2025 CONCACAF Beach Soccer Championship at Malcolm Park Beach Soccer Stadium in Nassau, New Providence, March 11th through 16th. Watch the Junkanoo Beach Boys take on top teams like Panama and the USA. It's free to attend. Come out and support your team. Bahamian Games are playing at 8 p.m. to give people enough time to get home. Slam, bam, pack your Georgie bundle and head back out to the stadium. Competition, competition, competition. Anyway, you're on the clock with Erin Green. We're going to a break. We'll be right back.
That's when I began to play Bo Peep from the hallway across the streets. Just then the shotgun began to blast. I didn't hear a thing, I was going too far.
You try to rest, roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it. Just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Pinder is carrying a new line of tile. The Sky series of porcelain comes in four colors. Sky Noir, Sky Azure, Sky Gris, and this one, Sky Glass. In this particular tile, I think you'll find coin gray, silver gray, cloud gray, and gray. All of these are super beautiful tile. The Sky series of porcelain comes in two formats, 24 by 24 at 530 a square foot and 12 by 24 at 525 a square foot.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green and I've got Christopher Davis from the Clifton Heritage National Park here with me. We're talking about the soft launch of a new program at the National Heritage National Park. It's taking place this Wednesday and the event is not, the program is not open to the public. Are tours open to the public after the program?
Yeah, so the tours, so we allow, you actually still can come for the event as well.
Okay.
But I didn't want to invite, because you might have to stand, right? So if you don't mind standing.
Yeah.
Seating, you know, all the so-called VVVIPs, some of them can be there. So, you know, all that protocol stuff sometimes.
And then the students get to have seating.
Right. The students, we can have some students performing as well and all of that stuff.
So listen, if I'm a content creator, right, and I'm a content creator, I want to begin creating content about history and culture in the Bahamas.
Right.
Can I come out and capture some of what is said and some of what's happening and then do the tour?
Yeah, I don't think that should be a problem. But what I'll do is I'll give you Mr. Archer's number, who is our new marketing manager and all that. And then y'all can speak about that. But I wouldn't have a problem with it. But we just have to make sure, because I don't know if they have other plans
for
others to do the same. You know, so I don't want to.
And we're not recording the tour, right? Not the tour itself, because you don't record that. But
So if you're just doing it on the tour, it wouldn't be a problem.
Oh, you could. You could do it on the tour.
Yeah.
Okay.
For y'all creating content, certainly. Typically, we allow you to take photos, but not record.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, particularly like if we have a school group and a teacher asks me to record so they could, you know, stuff like that. Certainly,
in
special groups, we do that. But of course, we just don't want people recording everything and then everything that we have is there online for all to see.
So you have to contact Mr. Major?
Mr. Archer.
Right. Okay.
So don't worry, I'll share his contact with you, but it should not be a problem. But I just want you to contact him just to make sure everything will be good, you know.
Because tourists come for sun, sand, and sea, without a doubt, right?
Right.
But tourists typically travel for culture and history.
Certainly.
Right? And so for content creators, you want to bite into that international market. You got to show the culture and history of your place, right?
Right.
And that's what Clifton Heritage National Park is all about.
Certainly. Even when you analyze, because, you know, I think we breaking records with cruise ship passengers.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at those reviewers, I scour them regularly. It's me, even, because, you know, there is this sort of idea that most of our tourists are not interested in culture at all. They just want to come here, drink, go on the beach, and have fun. But when you look at some of the top complaints, one is it's nothing really to do, and the other one is like, pretty much to paraphrase everybody, it's like there seems to be a lack of authenticity and culture. Everything sort of seems curated to the tourists, you know, and not necessarily, you know, and stuff like that. So there is, of course, a strong interest in that field. And I do believe it's one of the fastest growing sectors in tourism worldwide. And amazingly, we've been doing so well in tourism despite really, really falling behind on not just our cultural heritage initiatives for them, but more so for ourselves, right?
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. You know, it's about doing it for ourselves. And then what our historical narrative is, what our story is that inspires us, is then the one we put out to the world.
Absolutely. So we're going to read an excerpt you sent to me from the exhibit.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Now, Cynthia Lightburn, she is one of the women whose lives is being featured in the exhibition.
Right.
So we're going to read from this. Cynthia Lightburn was born around 1807 in Nassau. She spent her early life enslaved as a, quote, domestic, close quotes, under Benjamin Stiles Lightburn at his house on Cumberland Street, Nassau. Now, we all know where Cumberland Street is, right?
There you go. Oh,
that's
yeah.
the hill. Like, if you come in, if you're on Shirley Street and you meet the end of Shirley Street right. at Government House.
Yep, coming right down.
Right.
To turn where you go left on Dunkin' Donuts, so you go right to merge onto Bay Street.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. She was still a teenager when she performed a profound act of resistance to slavery. In January 1825, she was charged with arson, inspiring other acts of arson by the enslaved throughout the Bahamas. In the mid-1820s, many fires were being set in Nassau, adding to the hysteria of the Bahamian planter class. Weeks after the Masonic Hall and other residences were set ablaze, Cynthia boldly attempted to burn down her enslaver's house in the heart of the city. She was found guilty in the General Court on February 11, 1825. Initially sentenced to death, her sentence was later commuted, and she was one of the first women to receive this sentence. The reason behind the fire and Cynthia's sudden pardon of her sentence was at first a mystery. She was pregnant with her enslaver's baby, and this transgression was likely the cause of her setting fire to his house. Cynthia remained enslaved until 1838, having two mulatto children, both of whom Lightburn kept enslaved. Makes sense.
Yeah, so that's a heavy, that's
makes
a
little sense.
Of a heavy one.
you raped me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then you took from me my babies.
Yep.
And made them chattel on your plantation.
Yep.
I mean, I was playing the song. I see, Kermit,
your
I see
own,
why
your,
you changed.
Your own children.
Right.
You know?
I see why you changed the music, Kermit. Thank you very much. Kermit always trying to keep me balanced. Because you know I was going to sing, ask me why I light the match.
Yeah, right.
Ask me why I light the match. Yeah. You don't want to know, but I will tell you why I light that match.
And see, her story is quite profound, actually, you know. I'm actually also publishing a book that expounds much greater on these stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I surmise when I analyze the whole thing and all of the evidence, because first of all of a sentence to death, then all of a sudden everything went quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So that let me know that they's probably trying to protect someone. It's something you see commonly in Bahamian newspapers. They have this villain, they mm-hmm. have a sentence, and then all of a sudden you find the sentence get or something happened, and you don't hear from them no more. So that usually resulted in either a lynching or trying to protect someone's reputation or trying to sweep something under the rug, right? It also speaks to a certain myth, right? So there's this sort of myth where, I know you always talk behind the hasty times, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you understand that the Hanas that came here were more so your enslavers than your actual, more likely than your family members, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's this idea that we are actually related to many of these loyalists, right? And though this story shows you that there's some truth to that, the reality is, if you think about it, if all of us related to these enslavers, that means all of them was having babies with enslaved women and enslaving their own children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case, because all of us around here, we must probably be missing a couple of chromosomes right now,
yeah.
right? So, but it brings to light all of these different aspects of our history, particularly as it regards to the history of women.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting for me is the space to deconstruct or eradicate entirely, like, the myth of the jungless woman.
Right.
right? First of all, this idea of the term jungless, right, is relatively new.
Yeah.
It came about when we were younger people, right? But this idea of villainizing women in this way by calling them unruly,
mm-hmm.
right, has been around for forever.
Ever and ever.
Right? Yeah, and yeah. so we see from Cynthia Lightbourne, from Kate Moss,
mm-hmm.
St. Kate
Certainly.
Moss,
yep.
to Cynthia Lightbourne, to our friend, the dare to over social media, Muffin.
right,
Muffin
yeah.
who jumped the fence because of injustice. And we could all see, we all know what the situation was. We know it was injustice, right?
Right.
But that we are quick to and don't realize why, because we've been socialized to do it. to call that woman a junglist, to call her uncouth, to call her unruly, right. A bad gal, bad mind, right? No good. Y'all have one another time that I'm not going to say y'all young people because I don't want to popularize it, right? But right. Y'all just call them that thing that rhyme with door. And the new Bahamian one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Y'all could be making up all kinds of new words. Why that? Anyway, right.
Yeah.
The point is that
we make up some words to praise each other, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. That behavior, we don't, our behavior, we've been socialized into not recognizing the injustice that that her behavior emanates from.
Right, certainly.
Yeah. Right? And it's the lack of willingness to visualize it. That makes them makes a woman even more enraged.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to the caller for a second. Good morning, caller. Yeah? Sorry, caller. I must have missed you. Producer, there's nothing coming through. All right, so let's continue the conversation. Let me say to the callers, you could call back 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And 242-300-5720-4 Family Island. Listeners, 422-GR96 is the text line. I got a text here that says, any traditional cheerleaders at that men's game asking for the men's dem? First of all, the Junkanoo Beach Boys have a cheer squad.
Yeah.
But if you want traditional cheerleaders, you need to let me link up with the singing pastor so we could get his backup singers and dancers who perform with him in all his videos. If you want traditional cheerleaders, yeah. Texter.
They usually do have what they call promo girls at the beach soccer events.
Yeah.
And between every break, it's three periods of 12 minutes in between every break. Yeah, I used to play on the beach soccer team a while back, you know, so I know with those things. So people, that's what they're looking for. We can try, but I don't really want to do that. right now, you know.
No. I just because we mentioned the thing, but
yeah.
I don't like y'all be dissing us older ladies. Y'all don't understand what it is we bring to the table. Producer, let's take that next call. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. There we go.
Hello.
Hi. Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Good morning to you, and good morning to Chris.
Yes, sir.
I feel good about hearing that he is on the radio with you this morning in reference to the historical recognition of these ladies. I would like to know if he knows what day the original will book was published in archives.
What day the original will book was published in the archives?
You mean the document where they have a bunch of wills? Into one. So usually that's usually a years of compilation. If I remember correctly, I think these things was done, probably put together in the late 1980s or the late 1990s. But those wills would be dating back, some of them to the early 1700s, as far back as that, particularly when the Bahamas, quote unquote, officially became a British colony. But a majority of our will still rests in the British National Archives.
Yeah, you know, I had called in year before last and mentioned about the Farquharson Plantation, right?
The Farquharson, right, yeah.
Charles Farquharson will.
Right.
Which is wrongly as his son, James Farquharson will.
Right.
Now, Aaron.
Which book you mean? Are you talking about Islanders in the Stream?
Pardon me?
You're saying the book of the book.
Book that they have? Okay, I get it. Okay, yeah.
Right. Aaron, what happened on the weekend was my beautiful daughter found my archives documents and looked through them and found the original recording of it in the Registrar General Office. You remember I mentioned
that
they have it wrongly recorded, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But when I spoke with her, because I didn't speak with them, I tell yesterday, now where that is recorded in the Registrar of Records to show that it's not James Farquharson Will, that it is Charles Farquharson Will, the father, I'm going to have to get back to you maybe, say, tomorrow.
Okay, well, Should I just leave my number with you all and then you could get back? Yeah, because that's very interesting. And as a matter of fact, one of the women featured in the exhibit is Matilda Farquharson. And she was the not long serving, but she was the cook there sort of in the last decade or so of slavery in the Bahamas, who led an uprising on the Farquharson plantation in 1832.
Because he made out his will in 1823. Yeah. My daughter said, oh, that was around 1835. I said, yeah, that's when he passed.
That's when he passed away, right. That's not when he broke, right. That's not when he wrote the will. He did write it in the 1820s, yeah.
1823. And they have, because remember, Aaron, I promise I said that I have a certified copy of that. Do you have the number for Department of Archives?
Once you, I don't have it offhand, but you could Google it. I actually called them sometime last week. And you could just Google it, and then you would see the phone icon right underneath once you Google it. So just Google National Archives of the Bahamas, and the number will be right there.
Yeah. I want that number so I could, you know, and to send it to you, and I could send it to Aaron also.
Okay.
Or should I?
Okay, but Davis is not working at the National Archives.
No, I work.
I know that.
Okay, yeah, so yeah. Here's the number.
I promise to send it to you because I told you to check my archives, so I want to send it to you also. But it would, you know, it'd probably be like tomorrow.
All right, here's the number. You ready to write it down?
Mom, I got a computer brain, computer science degree.
All right,
you know?
393-2175.
Okay, 21. Okay.
Thank you very much.
You have a nice day.
Okay,
you too. All right. Okay, Matilda Farquharson.
Yeah.
I get one story told on this show. By the descendants, right, of the Johnson, one branch of the Johnson family in the Bahamas, right? And they were celebrating their family reunion.
Right.
And I think their ancestor's name is Agnes Johnson, if I am...
Yeah, Agnes Johnson, that name. Okay.
So from the up in the Berry Islands, right.
St. Stevens.
Right, so the story they told was that she was a businesswoman.
Right.
She may have fraternized with pirates, but she's a businesswoman. How is she going to do business with them if she don't fraternize? Anyway, the point is this. While they was in her place doing business, right, probably drinking what pirates is doing their off time, and she overheard their discussions.
Right.
And they were discussing... this plan to buy all the islands around, like the island, so that they could set up their camp, their pirate camp, right?
Right.
Agnes, while these by them was talking and frolicking and whatever pirates is do, I hide when I see pirates, to be honest. She got on her boat, and she made her way to New Providence. And by the time the pirates got to New Providence to go buy the islands they were talking about, Agnes was already touching ground at home with all the paperwork, with all the deeds and proof of purchase in our hand. We need to celebrate her.
Yeah. So it's so funny that you mentioned that because I'm sure it's probably the same people, but something like that did slide across my desk about Agnes Johnson. I don't call the name of the other guy who was doing the research, but he actually reached out to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to find some newspaper proof. That Agnes Johnson, Berry Islands, is actually St. Stephen's Church. They was essentially saying something about that property where St. Stephen's Church, or was it St. Bartholomew? Can't remember. There on, I believe, not Great Stirrup Key, it's the main island in Berry, man. I just off of my head like that.
That's because Berry Islands is the best kept secret in the Bahamas, not in Agua.
No, you know what I mean? But Agnes Johnson, yeah, certainly. And as a matter of fact, there are two Johnson women who just miss... The 12, they are like, trust me, I probably enough to do another small exhibit with honorable mentions because it's just...
well, like next year, we can honor another set of 12.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
Right?
Certainly.
And we got time for that.
Certainly.
And this is awesome. And what's the name of the exhibit? What's the exhibit called?
So the space is called Sacred Space, right?
Okay.
As I said, it was done by renowned artist Antonius Roberts about 20 years ago. And that sort of coincided with the founding of Clifton Heritage National Park and the passing of the Clifton Heritage Authority Act. And then we kind of won that victory of them not turning it into another affluent gated community. So it coincided with that. That was put there for that. Now to commemorate the 20th anniversary, this year's International Women's Day, now being, of course, the general atmosphere of crimes committed against women and girls in the past several months. We don't need to get into it. All of that sort of just came together. and made it happen. So the exhibit is called Sacred Space, dedicated to her story in the Bahamas. You know, we have his story. It speaks to, of course, the ethnic side, where history is very Eurocentric. But in this case, it also, and probably more so, speaks to her story and his story, right? Because history usually focuses on men. You know, the father of this and the father of medicine and the father of that and the father of tourism. Which is a pure foolish. One day you got to invite me back on so we could throw Stafford Science in the garbage once and for all, man.
Oh, boy.
Once and for all, you know?
Stafford Sands, was he knighted? Is there a sir in front of it?
Yeah,
Sir Sands?
Yes. I don't.
I mean, I appreciate that. I also express my position in a multitude of ways.
Yeah, on the same guy.
and many people in our history, right? Yeah. Because we have begun reading history. American television has programmed us to read history, right? Yeah. Which is like cowboys and Indians. Cops versus robbers, right? And so now we are unable
the explorer versus the African cannibals. Yeah, I know just where you go with that.
Right.
Yeah.
So now when we read history and we read modern events, we're kind of stuck in this paradigm, right? Where either there's a good guy or a bad guy, and that doesn't allow us to examine the good things and the bad things that person may have done, and then make a considered determination.
100%, 100%. Yeah. I think the best example of that would be someone like Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
I think we all understand his contributions. You could agree or disagree with his methodology, but you can't deny his contributions in making life a little less harder for African Americans and the wider black world, if you will.
But what is devastating, though, is that modern media, and I use that very broadly, like even including universities and the information that they publish, refuses to acknowledge parts of MLK's life or his work that would possibly disrupt this good guys versus bad guys narrative.
Right.
MLK himself said, I fear I may have integrated my people into a burning house.
Yep, certainly did. And in the end, he certainly showed a lot more sentiments towards the more revolutionary ideal, even though what he did was revolutionary. This wasn't revolutionary enough or in the way that was really needed. And that is one of the things that you see across the African diaspora, particularly in black nations, where we were oppressed. We wanted that integration when it should have just been desegregation. And there's actually a huge difference. But we could say that now in hindsight. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. We could say it in hindsight. Mr. Davis, this is a wonderful conversation. I'm so glad you have brought to light today the story of Cynthia Lightburn, and we can learn more about her and the 11 others whose lives have been selected to highlight in this Sacred Space exhibition, telling her story at Clifton Heritage National Park on Wednesday. Now, I'm a teacher. Tell me, how do I get my class there?
Boy, if your school bus driver willing to make the drive, you could do that. Of course, once the exhibit is up, it'll be there. It's actually a permanent exhibit. So you don't have to come on that day with the crowd. You might want to come just you and someone, family member, bring the school group, bring a civic organization. We plan on inviting many other groups like Zonta and all of these other groups out there and doing things with them. And so I just wanted to shout out all of the great women doing things, all of the women in my life, especially my mother and my significant other, and just all the women in the Bahamas, and let us men stand in solidarity with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. See, Texter, Mummy Birthday was on the 6th, but I could still celebrate it today with my other Mummy Birthday.
Right.
Happy birthday, Lila Green. Happy birthday, Joycelyn Frazier. And look here, to the Bahamas. Let's love each other. Accept and appreciate when others are trying to love us. Empathy is the thing that can save us, you know.
Right.
It is empathy that can save us. Because I had to put myself in your shoes. I get plenty of news to talk about. We can get to them later this week. But this story was worth it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Christopher Davis, Clifton Heritage National Park. Happy International Women's Day. We have two themes this year for all women and girls: rights, equality, empowerment. And the second theme, accelerate action. At the current rate of progress, it will take until 2158, the year 2158, which is roughly five generations from now, to reach parity. Five generations. I don't know if my old bear's strong enough to live that long, but I'm going to try. You guys have a great day and stay tuned because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.